You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Prop 32 is a high-profile, highly funded, and let's say the most highly contentious California proposition on the ballot. It's also called the Paycheck Protection Initiative. So as we continue our series looking at each of the 11 props, let's start with this story from our Capital Bureau Chief, Ben Adler.
Prop 32 would ban direct campaign contributions from unions and corporations and ban automatic paycheck deductions for political purposes. But rarely do two competing sides disagree so sharply about a measure's impact. Supporters say it would level California's political playing field by clamping down on special interest money. John Kabatek is with the National Federation of Independent Businesses, a small business advocacy group.
Let's give the average voter, the taxpayer, the small business owner, a voice. Stop the money in, favors out, pay-to-play way that things have been.
All good in theory, says Philip Ung with the public interest group Common Cause, if Prop 32 were real campaign finance reform. But he says it's not.
We think it's a group of partisans trying to use campaign finance reform to go after an opposition group or a group that they simply don't like.
Specifically, California's powerful public employee unions who collect their dues using the same automatic paycheck deductions banned by Prop 32. And Steve Smith with the California Labor Federation says the measure is riddled with loopholes for everyone else.
What this would do is really tilt the balance of power even further toward those corporate special interests while shutting down the ability of working people to engage in politics.
But former Democratic State Senator Gloria Romero, who's clashed with unions over education policy, says Prop 32 is consistent, fair, and democratic.
It gives the power to the individual union member to decide for themselves how they want to spend their political dues.
Both campaigns have raised tens of millions of dollars and are slamming each other with TV ads. Unions on one side, wealthy donors and super PACs on the other. Ben Adler, Capital Public Radio News.
We have two guests joining us to help us go deeper into Prop 32. By phone from Los Angeles is campaign finance expert Robert Stern. He helped write California's Political Reform Act in 1974, and he was president of the former Center for Governmental Studies in Los Angeles, a group that examined the initiative process. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning, Beth. Nice to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. Also by phone from San Francisco, Daniel Newman, co-founder and president of MapLight, which is a nonpartisan research organization that tracks money's influence on politics. So hi, Daniel. Welcome to you, too.
Thank you, Beth.
Bob, let's start. I feel like I'm going to the source on this. Is this real campaign finance reform?
It's been called a game changer or a political earthquake and a harbinger of what could happen across the country. Yes, it is campaign finance reform, but there is a big but. It basically does what the federal law does. It bans corporations and labor unions from making campaign contributions to candidates. It also bans independent contractors from making contributions to candidates. Sounds really good for people like me, reformers. But it also does, it says that to labor unions and corporations who do this, you can't use payroll deductions to raise campaign money. Now, that's how labor unions raise their money. It's not how corporations do. So many reform groups like Common Cause and the League of Women Voters are against it, saying it tilts the playing field in favor of corporations. So it has some good things in there, and then it has some things in there that people don't like. And as your reporter indicated, this is the most heavily spent initiative in California this year, with lots of money being spent for and against and lots of ads here down in Los Angeles on TV and radio.
Daniel, I'm seeing about $35 million spent for and about $57 million against, and those numbers are obviously in flux. But what is the money being spent say about what's at stake here?
I think it shows the seriousness of this issue to the unions and for the groups that are also promoting this initiative, which their interests are harder to track. So if you look on the no side, the no on 32 side, the top contributor, the California Teachers Association at $20 million, number two, Service Employee International Union, and the other groups are unions as well. And on the yes side, you have Charles T. Munger, Jr., who is the Stanford physicist and son of the vice chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, the Warren Buffett company. And then a group called Americans for Responsible Leadership with a huge $11 million contribution, but they're an anonymous group, and they're taking advantage of current loopholes in the law to keep their donors anonymous. And news news reporting has linked them with conservative groups.
So, I would disagree with Dan that they're taking advantage of loopholes. I think that they will have to disclose those contributions. I think the Fair Political Practices Commission will go after them and make them disclose. The only question is whether they'll have to disclose before or after the election.
In general, then, it's individuals who are funding the FOR campaign and organizations, political action committees, unions funding the Against campaign. Is that a fair generalization?
No, I'd say not, because Americans for Responsible Leadership and American Futures Fund, which together have given $14 million on the yes side, it's actually not clear the sources of those funds. So they don't represent any obvious interest, and we don't know where the money has come from at this time.
So, Bob, two similar measures were introduced in 98 and 2005 that tried to ban unions from using automatically deducted payroll funds, and they were both defeated, although by a slight majority. What's your prediction here?
Well, when voters are confused, when there's lots of money spent against a measure, it usually goes down. But you never, it's not always the case. Just because you have money on the yes side doesn't mean you're going to pass something. For example, PG&E a few years ago spent $50 million supporting a ballot proposition. No money was spent against it. It lost. But the conventional wisdom is when there's lots of money on the no side, it goes down. Because when voters are not sure, when voters are confused, they tend to vote no. In this case, we also have almost all the major newspapers against this, which surprised me. The exceptions being San Diego Union, Bakersfield, California, and Orange County Register are for it. But the Chronicle, the Bee, the LA Times are all against it. So it's probably, the polls show it very close. The polls show it could go either way. But as I say, usually when measures have money spent against it, they go down.
Yeah, I was looking in September. It was 49% no, 42% yes, and that gap has closed. It is closer now than it was even a month ago. Daniel, another money question. I contacted Fox 40 here in Sacramento about these games, these baseball games, where over 60% of the ads are political. They can increase the rate now that a local team has made it to the World Series. So where's the spending going to get to by the time we reach the finish line?
Well, it's very hard to predict, but I would expect that because the polls are close, as Bob said, because the money is spent is high on both sides, that creates a high incentive for both sides to keep spending.
And Beth, I'm sure you're very upset that your station can't accept political ads during the season, because it would make a lot of money if you could.
Well, all the stations that can are making a lot of money. They live for this rotation. We just think about things differently here.
I do say that just the amount of money that this proposition and the others take really opens the question of who's really deciding what laws are presented to voters. So you have the ability for one individual on the yes side to spend $22 million for these large groups on the no side to spend many millions of dollars. But as an ordinary citizen, you just don't have the opportunity to get your ideas up before the voters of California. It's only a very tiny slice of wealthy interests that can afford to do that, and that's not democratic, in my opinion.
Right. You mentioned Charles Munger. His sister, of course, is Molly Munger, behind the significant funding for Prop 38. But you know what? That's another segment for another time. Thank you, gentlemen.
Pleasure being with you.
Thank you, Beth.
Appreciate having you both with us. That was Bob Stern and Daniel Newman. Robert Stern, president of the former Center for Governmental Studies in Los Angeles. Daniel Newman, co-founder and president of MapLight. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.